these were part of contracts that were written before AIG was effectively given all this money and government assistance, and in some ways some would claim nationalized. So these were, you know, on the books, and they were just taking effect the way that they were going to. The question, I guess, is why didn't anybody say, hold on, we're giving you all this money in exchange, we expect certain things like you're not going to pay out retention bonuses or things like that. There was apparently no deal cut. The money was given and none of these kinds of things were looked at. In terms of who knew what when lately, apparently Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner was told about this earlier last week, and he did not apparently tell the White House for a few days, which is leading some people around town to say, you know, Geithner's now made way too many missteps. They're going to have his head at the White House. He's going to have to resign. Mm-hmm. Right now, the president is saying that Geithner still retains his full confidence, but that's obviously one to watch. This is all exploding, and the fact is that this is something I think that. This particular situation, the AIG bonuses, is the manifestation of a lot of the frustration that has been out there and has been building ever since the stimulus, you know, even ever since that first bailout package last fall, and then the auto bailout and the stimulus package. And I think people are feeling many of them rightly so. They're losing their jobs. They're very frustrated and very worried and in some cases in a lot of pain over their own personal financial situation. And here are massive companies that were being told that we're having to bail out so that the economy doesn't crumble further, and they're going and doing business as usual on Wall Street. This is business as usual on Wall Street. They pay out bonuses, but things are not usual. This is not we are not in a typical situation, and yet they're doing what they used to do, and people are angry about it.
Yeah, but Jody, we're now 2 months into the new administration, and there has not been any kind of cogent plan put forth, at least not one that anyone subscribed to from the private sector, to continue with the TARP program, with how the government deals with the fact that lending is still frozen. And so I have to say, some of the outrage has a manufactured quality.
The outrage on the Hill?
Outrage on the Hill. and the president's outrage, because these bonuses, they're talking about $165 million, and yeah, it might be annoying, but it's in the context of $170 billion or $750 billion, it's really small potatoes.
Well, that's right. I think that I would agree with you that the Hill reacts, and right now, you know, they're spending a lot of money on the stimulus, and they just spent a lot of money in the omnibus bill, and there's a lot of criticism about earmarks. So it's certainly easy to turn around and point fingers. Oh, look at AIG. They're the bad guys. They're the culprits. And we saw on the Hill yesterday, they were all kind of falling over each other to try to, introduce legislation, you know, to do something about it. Again, Band-Aid kind of things. Max Baucus, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, and Chuck Grassley were immediately proposing legislation that would require companies and individuals to pay a 35% tax on all retention awards and other bonuses that exceed $50,000. Some were suggesting even higher tax rates. You know, Chuck Schumer is saying if you don't return it on your own, we'll do it for you, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of that is sort of saying, okay, you know, this is an easy target right now. And in the White House, too, I think, you know. But the real question, as you're pointing out, is what do they do about this? AIG had been determined, I think correctly so, as being too interconnected to fail, maybe too big to fail, but also too interconnected to fail. If they let AIG fail, there's the whole confidence in the nation's insurance system falls apart, and you end up in a much more dire and much more potentially tragic situation for the economy. That's why they bailed them out. So the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to have to keep doing this? What are we going to do to shore up the system so you don't need to keep giving money to companies that are going to turn around and spend it on bonuses?
You know, I've heard some pretty staggering estimates about the amount of money that AIG owes because of these derivative swaps that they insured, and that they're, I mean, it's almost an incalculable sum that the American people would be on the hook for. And so at some point we're just going to have to stop paying it out. How do you fix that? I mean, first of all, is the situation that AIG entered into by insuring some of these complex instruments, has that been solved yet? Have they been stopped from doing that?
Well, there's two issues here. First of all, you're right. I think you're absolutely right. The bigger question is, what do you do about, you know, these kinds of things? And interestingly, the clamor over this compensation overshadowed the disclosure over the weekend that AIG used more than $90 billion in federal aid to pay out to foreign and domestic banks, including some that also had multi-billion-dollar U.S. government bailouts.
Of their own.
Yeah.
And then they went and said, we don't need any more bailout money because they'd gotten it from AIG.
From AIG, which now the compensation thing is really overshadowing. But to me, that's staggering. And the other thing is, right now, just like we're finding out that we didn't really regulate a lot of what was happening with the banks and in the mortgage industry, we don't really regulate the insurance industry certainly not in a standardized and kind of a uniform way. Insurance companies are still regulated by the states. Kind of a quaint little concept, but, you know, when we're talking about a massive company that is, you know, trading in derivatives that, as you point out, they may not even know how much they've lost on, it seems to me that you know, and Congress is starting to look at this, that they're going to try to overhaul regulation in the insurance industry, with many of these insurance providers expanding their operations and using these increasingly complex products. It's, you know, a lot of people are saying it's time to start looking at this. Again, you know, you can point fingers backward and saying, well, why didn't they, you know, why didn't anybody deal with this a few years ago? Maybe we wouldn't have been in this situation. But right now, interestingly, they're still pointing fingers, and the hearing on the Hill today is going to be all about, you know, those awful folks at AIG. In coming weeks and months, I think we're going to start seeing them talk about regulation and how do you change the regulatory system so that you don't end up in this situation again, which I think will be kind of a much healthier and more productive conversation, but we're not going to get there yet.
All right. Now, I have an interesting question. The money that AIG paid to Deutsche Bank or Goldman Sachs, does that have any strings attached to it? Because it didn't come directly from the government to those entities. It only came through AIG. So do they have any requirement at all to direct that money in the way the government is asking them to use it?
That's an excellent question, and one I would like to ask Tim Geithner able to ask him. It doesn't appear that there are a lot of strings. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, accountability and oversight, and yet it seems that, and, you know, as we found out, the TARP money was going to be used for one thing. It got used to be a direct capital infusion into these companies, into these banking, you know, companies. So I think at this point, it really doesn't appear that there's a lot of strings. As a matter of fact, you know, the first thing that the Treasury Secretary and Larry Summers said last weekend is, we can't go ahead and do anything about this. These are contracts. We can't abrogate them. So it doesn't look like they had this conversation, or there certainly anything was written into any kind of documents at the time that they were bailing them out.
Well, maybe AIG figures, we'll give the money back, get the heat off us, and then maybe the attention of this oft-quoted public will turn to what sounds like basically a money laundering scheme. So it's using AIG to funnel all this money out, and where was Congress while that was going on? Just speculating.
You know, the larger question, I think, is, you know, what, first of all, is the federal government and the White House and Congress, you know, they've talked about, well, what do we do next, you know, if things continue to go, badly, or the banks are not lending to the degree we need, and you know, I think there still is a lot of, there's a pretty big freeze in the credit markets, we might have to go back. Well, with this kind of outrage, I think they're going to have a great deal of trouble getting legislation passed. They're going to go home for the Easter break in another week or so.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God, are they going to hear from these people? They're going to hear from their constituents, and, you know, that's who they represent. Now, they may come back and sort of do more of these kind of, you know, slap on the wrist kinds of things to AIG and others, or they may come back and say, okay, here's what we have to do from a regulatory system. And yet the White House is in a situation, too, and I think the future of the Treasury sector may be somewhat precarious here.